AG1 is a comprehensive and convenient blend of over 70 high-quality ingredients. And what that means is each morning when I wake up, before I do anything else, I drink AG1 to set me up for the day. It keeps me clear-headed, full of energy, and focused on whatever I need to do, like writing the fighting cock, for example. One scoop, once a day, before breakfast, and that's it. I've actually found that I've not been needing coffee in the morning to get me started. I've still been drinking coffee, because I love coffee, but it's not because it's like a necessity to do so. AG1 is made out of the highest quality ingredients subject to the strictest manufacturing standards. AG1 is NSF certified for sport, and this process involves exhaustive testing and verification that every serving of AG1 is exactly what you see on the label. If you want to take ownership of your health, try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs for your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/thefightingcock. That's drinkag1.com/thefightingcock to get started. And to help the podcast. Thank you very much. Have a great day and enjoy the show. It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Clock. It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Clock. A camel chutney. And welcome to episode... Fucking where are we? The episode 54, 55. We're waiting for Mark to come through, but I'm really pushed for time, so I've just hit start. And if he comes in, he's going to be confused and doing his, what's going on? But needs must. What was you just talking about? We're just looking at a picture of a barb, were we?
Was it a barbel.
A barbel.
Barbel, yeah. Yeah. Amazing fish. Amazing. They got like these whiskers, long whiskers. And they normally live in the river, and they use those whiskers to feel on the floor to see if there's any food popping about. But when you catch them, they are fucking absolute demons in the river.
Are they?
Very strong fish. Yeah, lovely. I've never caught one. Never caught one. Dream of mine to catch one.
So all we know about you, Ricky, is you've caught a couple of minor chub and nothing else, really.
I've caught some decent carp as well, so
yeah, but not,
let's have it right.
Mark, how you doing, mate?
Good, you?
We've started recording because didn't want to wait. But all we've been talking about is fishing thus far, Mark. How are you?
Yeah, good, man. Good. I could be a lot worse.
Good. Yeah. Brilliant.
The reason I'm found, I just stacked it.
You just, fallen over?
Yeah.
On what?
I've just stacked it on the decking, going down into my little cabin, innit? And
you hurt yourself.
I admit, boys, my male confidence is bruised because the way our houses are laid out, all the houses can like see our garden. So I bet you at least one of our neighbours saw me land on my ass.
Did you bang your front bum?
I bang my back bum, my ass bone, whatever that's called.
Coccyx. Can you turn your camera on when you get a chance? That'd be lovely. I've got a question. Let's kick it off with a question from Jack Enoch out. And do you know what? I've got just noticed. I probably stick into the podcast 80% of what Jack asks. And he's the level of his questions are generally quite interesting. So I don't know what I mean.
Well done, Jack.
Yeah,
thank you.
I guess what that is.
Thanks.
Chucks loads of great questions in, so thank you, mate. Jack, who is has been, I don't know if it's proudly, but distinctly Enoch out from day one. Jack Doyle, he says, so what are we playing for now? This is given the fact that Spurs have just been knocked out last Friday of the FA Cup. What are we playing for now? We just have the league. Top four, top five, the title. Europa League places since we could go for it next year, or is it just vibes and enjoyment? Obviously, have some huge derbies against Arsenal and Chelsea as well, and trying to beat Liverpool for Klopp's. So I kind of feel like the middle part of that question, where it says, "Or it's just vibes of enjoyment," suggests that isn't enough anymore. I think that we moved past that. It's not just enough just to enjoy Postecoglou's football. We need to start seeing results. Is that where people are moving towards? Which I think is completely legitimate. And I'll tell you why that is because I was absolutely pissed before the game or during the game against Man City. Basically, I got giddy because for the first time I was watching football with my brother Ross and my dad. And I just smashed about four Guinnesses in about 45 minutes, and then I was drinking other stuff as well. And I don't know why I tweeted this, but I tweeted, I don't give a fuck, it's at halftime. I don't care what happens in this game. I just fucking love Ange Postecoglou. I don't even agree with that now. And I woke up in the morning going, I don't agree with what I've just tweeted. Why the fuck did I tweet that? And I think what it was is I got so caught up in, I don't know what I got caught up in. I thought the first half went all right. And I was just, I do love the man, right? I've got a deep affection for him. And I do feel completely different about Spurs. And not, all of that is down to him. I definitely cared what happened in the game, so I don't know. I tweeted that, and I couldn't delete it because some people had said, "What are you talking about?" Which would make me think, "Well, I can't delete it now. I should have deleted it, but I can't. I can't delete it now because someone's pulled me up for being a dick, and I was and am a dick for tweeting it." Anyway, we all make mistakes.
To back you up on that. Going into the game, we had our settled back five back. Yay! Kulu was back from illness. Yay! Werner, it was his first home game. So big game as well. Real chance to kind of see him. Richie's purple patch under the lights. FA Cup. Like, there was a lot to be, like, well, positive about and buoyed about the game and thinking, do you know what? We normally have these bastards' number. We're going to fucking do it again. FA Cup's got our name written on it. Mm. So with your tweet of being like, kind of like, don't care what happens, it's a feel-good feeling that I went into the game. I went into that game really confident. Like, I genuinely thought we were going to win. I didn't know how it was going to quite play out, but I was really confident. And then the game progressed and it was a lot more difficult than I had imagined. And the City that we've seen coming back into form really showed themselves. And they were just a level above us, really. And as much as it hurts to say that, and we're thinking, yeah, we're finally on the cusp with Ange, the players coming back, and we're playing good football, we're winning, that feel-good feeling, and then seeing us kind of like kept at bay, really. Yeah. It was disappointing, and I'm sure we'll go into this.
Of course.
But like City were good, but I felt like quite a few of our players had off games as well. So it didn't quite pan out as I thought it would, which again was disappointing.
It was disappointing. And that was, like, to echo what you said, that was probably the best City I've seen play Spurs. I know they've played better elsewhere and they've been brilliant. And towards the end of last season, they were monolithical in their charge towards a league title. But that when they started, I was like, oh shit, they're playing well. You know, you can kind of tell the way a game's going to go within the first 10 minutes of it. I don't know how you felt, Mark, but you can kind of predict the flow of a game and you're like, they are knocking this about, lovely. This is going to be tricky. And so it played out. Like you said, Rick, I think we had, and we'll pick on a couple of players to talk about, but I think in the face of such an excellent City setup and how they were using the ball, that some of the frailties in our team were exposed, and you could perhaps criticise a couple of the players, but yeah, that it was just a case of, it felt like they're better than us. Of course, they're better than us than on paper, and they demonstrated it. That would be how I'd surmise it. What about you, Mark?
Yeah, I would echo a lot of what you both said. I think Ricky's right in that this looked like a less nervous City than what we've seen. I think, like, we do seem to be their bogey team, but this time they seem more up for it than I feel like we've seen before. They did score quite late on, to be fair, and it wasn't the highest scoring game that I thought it might have become. I mean, they had like 17 or 18 shots, and they were quite superior to us, certainly in an attacking sense. And then I think, yeah, you're right, we had a few players that were sort of off the boil a little bit. But I mean, City don't have anyone at AFCON, they don't have anyone at the Asian Cup, and we've got, you know, three of our best players out at both those tournaments, so we were quite heavily depleted. This wasn't our best 11 versus their best 11, so I don't know. I think overall I think we did all right. I think they were clearly better than us, but we are, and said it after the game, we're what, 7 months into this project, and Pep is like 8 or 9 years into his. So yeah, it's kind of, I don't know, I think we need to take that into context.
Yeah, he's cycled that Manchester City time as I mean, during his time, he must have spent over £1 billion at Manchester City, and he's cycled his squad four times. Obviously, when they're in their pomp, they're gonna be difficult to beat. And like you say, it was closer. Even though as good as they were, it took a very scrappy goal to beat Vicario. Just quickly, was it a foul on the keeper, Rick?
I think it was a foul, but I don't think he made enough of it. I think I can't remember who it was who backed into him and did push him, but it wasn't enough to kind of send him flying, and he still tried to go after the ball, so the foul didn't look as visibly that it caused him to be blocked getting into that ball or for him to fall over. When I saw it back, I didn't think they were going to pull it up for VAR either.
Nah, I kind of can't complain. I went into this at length on Five Statements on Patreon, but really, fundamentally, goalkeepers probably get more protection than they should, and Diaz wasn't intentionally trying to fail him. It felt like he was trying to go for the ball, so I didn't really have an issue, really. Just want to go back to Jack's question, though. Is it okay just to get into to just enjoy Postecoglou's football this season, and aim to finish in the top four, or because of the way it started and because of the position we find ourselves in and the players are coming back, that our expectations shouldn't just be about vibes and enjoyment? It should actually be about results to some degree. We're not talking about a league title challenger. I still think we can be a part of that conversation. Certainly, I think we can put pressure on the teams that do eventually win the league, i.e. Liverpool or City. I feel like a top four place is ours if we continue to play how we have this season. I think even Postecoglou doesn't want vibes and enjoyment and good football. He said this, he goes, it isn't about that, it's about results, it's about getting results. So I think the fans, if you demand more of Spurs this season than that, because that was our starting block, then that's fine. We're well within your rights, given the fact that we're clearly good enough to do it. So all we're asking, really, is for the team, as they've demonstrated thus far, to play to their potential. And if they do that, you'd think they would finish in the top four. But how would you respond to any of that, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's fine. I'm not going to slag any fans off that want more. And I'm very upset that we're out of the FA Cup and now supposedly can't win the league anymore either. And that's fine. You do you. But I'd rather look at the context of the season so far and what Postecoglou is building for us here and say that's what we're playing for. We're playing to build a team that's going to go on and compete for seasons to go. Still, you know, we're building a really exciting young side. We're changing the DNA of the club. We're laying some building grounds for something that will be there even when Ange goes. Hopefully, in terms of an attitude and a kind of a I don't know, just a feeling around the club, you know, like I don't Conte and Mourinho seem to change, and even, you know, Nuno even to a degree changed the DNA of the club a little bit, and that's why we kind of got so in the mire, and Postecoglou in the few months he's been there is starting to change that. I think the cups and that will come. I genuinely believe that. I think it's don't throw your toys out the pram yet. Top four has been acceptable for many, many, many seasons so far. Why is it not acceptable this season? Just because we're playing slightly more attacking. Yeah.
I mean, bearing in mind, you could say we're out of both cups, and the Fulham game came very early. Marcus Silva has been with Fulham longer than Postecoglou. It was his third game, Postecoglou. Made lots of changes, early doors for Tottenham. We lost that game. We beat Burnley at home, and then you're up against the team that's won the FA Cup. Is it six times in the last season? Who's won it? They've just consistently won, right? Man City, Liverpool, Chelsea, or Man City. To be fair, they've won it twice in the last five. But if you look at winners of the FA Cup as well, it's not shared. It's shared between anybody, all of the teams that finish in the top four typically. I don't know. It's been what I'm saying is that this Man City getting them drawn at home, although we were optimistic, playing the way they did, it just felt like it was just one of them. If they play that way all throughout their FA Cup run, they're going to win it. Kuti Romero.
To go back on the vibes bit. How I feel about it, under Martin Yol, AVB, Harry Redknapp to a lesser extent, the vibey bits were like, previous to that, in any game that we play, you know, I'd look in the fixture list, Man United away, I'm not even going to watch that. I'm just going to check back on teletext to see how much we've lost by. and the vibey bit is the Martin Yol. Is where we did. We you know, plucky little Tottenham got results against Arsenal, got results against Chelsea. It wasn't too often, but those were our kind of like heady days where we were just living off those vibes. And we're in a period now where we have the stadium, training facilities, the money, the manager, everything's in place. And I know Postecoglou is like 7 months into his tenure, but I don't just want to play for vibes anymore. And I get at the moment we are very early in this project, but I do want to strive for more. Like it pains me every season when a trophy gets further and further away from us. And I get it. Like I just said that, he's just started this really. He hasn't got his own players in. He's still bedding in his coaching and everything like that. But it was really disappointing, if I'm honest.
Yeah, but it'd even been worse if it was, if we'd lost to someone we expected to beat. That's what I was saying. You can kind of Do you remember when we last won the cup in the 91? Our run to the final was one of the easiest you could have. I didn't even think we played a team in the top tier until we met Arsenal in the semi-finals, and then we played Nottingham Forest. So sometimes you need to have a favourable route through.
Yeah,
it's basically down. It's down to Gary Mabbutt, really, because he's the one that pulled the ball out of the bag. And he was going, "Well, if you want to be the best, you've got to beat the best." No, well, someone else could have knocked them out. That would have done us a world of good there, Gary. But it is what it is. Just quickly, we've got Sandro. Remember, we've got Sandro next Monday, a week today. So you've got a week left. If you want to get tickets, you've got to get them now. Bellevue Pub in Clapham. Go to thefightingcock.co.uk to get your tickets, and also the pinned tweet on Twitter. And we're in the region of about 130, 140 people through the door at the moment. So,
is it?
Should be busy. It's going to be good.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah. Just on that Romero on the defeat. It says it's a defeat that hurts, but that forces us to get up and always keep trying. This is what it's all about. I have no doubt that we're finally all going in the right direction. Let's keep it up, and thank you for supporting us. We'll come back stronger. There is this consistent theme, though, that an understanding that we seem to be pulling in the right direction, Mark, right? It does feel like everything is going in the right direction. We are, the news coming out about how well we're positioned financially, and clubs are now having to really take FFP seriously since the Everton points deduction, and we're in a good space in that sense. We've got the right manager, it seems, in Postecoglou, and we're building a squad of players that are talented. So while it is a difficult one to take, losing to Man City, it does feel like we are pulling in the right direction.
Yeah. I, you've said it perfectly, both on and off the pitch, right? Like the things are starting to sort of, and quicker as well, but just to add, quicker than expected, right? Like we all said Ange's first season was going to be difficult, and because it was at Celtic and abroad. So, yeah, it's happening quicker, and you're right. I like a lot of the off-pitch stuff as well, and I know that a lot of people are very bored by that, but little things like we're starting to pinch players off other competing clubs around, in and around us in the table, because they haven't paid a big enough eye on to the sustainability rules and FFP and so on. Just little things like that where we can make moves when other clubs can't. This has been, it's unprecedented how little money's been spent in this January transfer window. But who's the only club that's spent any money so far is Tottenham Hotspur. Like, and we will be there or thereabouts for the next couple of windows until these other clubs start to figure out and start to do their homework and figure out what FFP actually means. But all that stuff is boring. I think the on the pitch developments and the direction that we're heading in is clear for everyone to see. I mean, one of our best players was Timo Werner, which we got a lot of stick for when we signed him on loan, right? So to have him so quickly bedded in and so quickly bought into the, it says a lot about the player, obviously. But
what is
also
it
about
you
the project
saw about him that
I just thought
was
I thought
one
he was
of our
brilliant
best players.
I thought both out of position and, well, mostly out of position actually, when we had the ball but he wasn't in possession, I thought his runs were excellent. I thought he was brave. I thought he did the runs that we, and one of the biggest problems for this game, but one of the biggest problems we had, and one of the reasons why we lost, is we didn't have Son, right? Son's our biggest weapon against City. I thought Werner actually did quite a bit to fill in that spot that Son usually takes and do those runs and get in those positions. We just didn't find him. You know, Udogie, for whatever reason, doesn't quite have that. He likes to sit on the ball and drift into the middle and not just give it straight away. I didn't think Kulik was great in 10 either. So those two were quite critical in giving Werner the service he needed. Mm. But he put a stint in defensively as well. He was back for defensive work, often won a few headers. I thought he was brilliant.
I did see the video. I saw the video of how many times that he was in an excellent place to receive a ball and it didn't quite happen. And it did against Man City, that lack of having a player that can cut a defence open, i.e. Maddison, right? If Maddison was in his pomp, you'd bet that at least a couple of times he would have found that space where Werner had opened up for his movement. It just wasn't. It was just so difficult. That was my kind of take home from all of it. Like everything we tried, they kind of had an answer for him, and was nullified. And you know, there's many reasons why Pep Guardiola in this instance would be able to use his smarts to nullify a Postecoglou system. But this was the first time I thought this isn't working. That's not to say that it should be changed in any way, or it might need to be adapted going forward. But I think it felt to me that there was a combination of two things. There was one, the Man City were playing at their potential and as good as they have played all season. And on top of that, Guardiola had done his homework massively. And it kind of felt like whatever methods he'd put in place to nullify Spurs, that they worked. They won't always work, and there are many things that need to go in place in what is essentially a chaotic nature of football. Many things are difficult to find a tactic to deal with, but in this instance, everything that Guardiola wanted to happen seemed to. His players just got things right. They made the right decisions at the right times, and we just couldn't quite figure out how to do it, and we didn't have the quality to force the narrative of the game. And you have to expect these things. It would have been a lot worse if they just battered us and we offered nothing, kind of like AC Milan in the Champions League when Conte was in charge, where it just felt like nothing was ever going to happen. It felt like we were trying, but it just, on this night, was supremely difficult to do anything with. And
why couldn't they find Werner? Like, he was in a fairly good number of good positions. Do you remember there was that little rumour at Real Madrid where Benzema said, don't pass to Vinicius because he's shit? Do you think someone's had a word and said, don't pass to Werner?
Yeah.
He's shit. Don't give it him.
Son.
I think that's what that's. Son. Don't let him take my place. Don't pass him the ball. Don't give him anything.
Before he leaves, he's done undone.
I'm your captain.
He's undone all his good work. Son, he's like, why are you doing this to me? To give a sensible answer, I think it was just the wrong decision making at that time. It was just Udogie not choosing that path or choosing to carry, doing the things that have made him one of the best left backs, if not the left back in the league this season. He didn't do anything wrong. Yeah. He just didn't find. Do you remember there was a great example against Liverpool where Maddison picked the ball up and he put the ball through to Richarlison, and Richarlison just touched it inside? That was the ball we were looking for Werner, or just playing it between the defenders.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, and I suppose someone who knows a lot more about these things than me could look at the tapes and figure out a reason why. I'm sure Postecoglou is here and gone, right, we need to figure that out. But in this game, we couldn't do it.
I think one thing I noticed, I mean, I definitely noticed the lack of Son, but I did notice that their midfield was a lot more defensive than what I feel like we've usually seen. I mean, you've got Kovacic is someone we haven't faced. Well, we faced him in the 3-3, I think, but he was quite far back. I mean, him and Rodri were pretty much right next to each other, right in the centre circle. But then Silva was quite far, quite sort of defensive as well. And then you've got Kyle Walker out there as well. So you've got that sort of triangle of Rodri, Bernardo Silva and Kyle Walker in and around where you want the balls to come through to Werner, which that's three quite good players. And if you've got someone like Udogi, who isn't, like you said, Flav, that's not his normal game, finding those kind of through passes, I think it's always going to be tricky. But definitely set up slightly differently.
He's more like carrying, isn't he? He prefers to create carry. And, you know, that seems to be the tactic that's worst, but worked best for him. I suppose we do need to talk about Brennan Johnson. And I loathe to criticise him. It's early doors. Paid a lot of money. Wait, I want to give this guy credit on TikTok. He talks about Spurs. He's very good. I can't remember his name, though, so my bad. I'll try and remember it. If he does listen to the podcast, he'll know I'm talking about him, because he was saying that there has been a comparison between Brennan Johnson and Son's first season. Son was brought in for like 22, 23 million. Brennan Johnson's like 40, 45, 46, whatever it was. And that Son was less than impressive. And it just goes to show that the point was being made, not by this guy, but that you don't there's no need to be too hasty, and look what Son has done for Spurs. And like you said, he was kind of abject to some degree in the first season. And this guy was saying, well, look, it's just because it's happened before doesn't mean it'll happen with Brennan Johnson, and there's something not quite right there. What side of the fence are you on, Rick? How are you feeling about him?
I still think it's really early days. He's a young lad. He's coming into, stepping up from Forest to Tottenham. There is also the totally different working environment. It must be quite daunting to come into that. But again, I don't think we had prepared ourselves to see Johnson as much as we had. I think he was going to be competing for Kulusevski, and Kulu would normally start 9 times out of 10, and Johnson would come on 65 minutes for fresh pair of legs. But because of the injuries, he's had to come in and he's had to play like most games. So I don't think he was expecting that, and I don't think we were expecting that, but you just have to do what you need to, really. And I think he's still got loads of room to learn what Ange wants him to do, and how the players around him, how they like to play, how they like to receive the ball. There's been quite a few, like a couple of assists where he's beaten his man, put it into Richarlison at the front post. Richarlison has scored. And it's about getting those kind of opportunities so that Richarlison can score. Some of his crossing has been decent, but some of it has been woeful. I'm loath to kind of stick the boot in on the guy as yet. But... And also in the first half, when Kulusevski was playing more central and Johnson was out on the wing, like Kulusevski, the game passed him by. He was just non-existent. And I think he was getting crowded out a lot as well, losing the ball, because he was trying to impose himself on there, like in the game. But he was losing the ball, and his passes were going to miss, which isn't really his game. And then once we swapped Kulusevski out, and he was playing on the wing, he performed a lot better, and he's a lot more dangerous. But again, with Johnson, I think if people are starting to stick the boot in now, I think we're being far too hasty on that, if I'm honest.
You've got to look, the best place to be, not the best place to be, but you've got to look for the positives in this moment, because we've just signed him. He's not going anywhere. He's going to be at Spurs for the foreseeable future, unless... you know, at least 2 years, 3 years. The only way he's really going to end up being sold is if he, you know, he's playing out of his skin and all these big like big clubs come in and try and buy him and try and force his arm, whatever it might be. But you know, we need you need to look for the positives and hope that there's a player there and in that Postecoglou can get out. And if he can, then we're going to reap the rewards for it. But it may be that he just needs time to settle and it isn't quite working. But he did against City, he did look lost. He did look lost. And I think if Madison is back, that perhaps we'll see less of him and that Kulusevski will return to that right-hand side, Mark.
Yeah, I agree. I think he just... I've been more so in private. I don't think I'm ready to publicly come out with my true opinions just yet. But sort of like Ricky, you know. Cars close to the body and all that. We're going to go yet, but I'm saying it in WhatsApp groups. Anyway, I think he just needs a bit of time. Like, he's 22, right? And he's come with a huge, huge, huge fucking price tag on his shoulders. He's obviously quite a sensitive guy. You know, came from, we said this in the preview, didn't we, Flav? Came from being the big man, right? Came from being a big fish in a small bowl. That's,
yeah.
No, that's not. Ricky, you're the fish man. You know what that analogy is.
Pond.
That's it.
Pond bowl. Yeah.
You've actually got Pond. Two, I don't want to pick you apart, but you've actually got two. You've made two mistakes in the last minute. You said cards close to your body. That's not, that ain't right. It's cards close to your chest.
What?
Close to your chest.
Chest.
Yeah, and it's
Danish, it's body. I don't know why would it be body? It's like, you're not putting him on your thigh, are you?
Well, mate, I don't know. This is you fucking Danish, you know what's going on, do you? But the
other arse,
so you got two there, basically. But yeah, crack on.
Great podcasting. That's so interesting for everyone.
Can I just tell you something?
I'm just looking
back at his form as per whoscored.com. And he had good games against Bournemouth at home, the 3-1 win at home, at 7.4 rating there. At Everton, he had a 7.5 rating when the game we beat them 2-1, which, as I remember, was quite a relatively close game. We beat Newcastle 4-1, 8.1. And the 3-all game against Man City, he registered a 7.2 there. It's just inconsistent, and when he plays badly, he seems to play very badly. Against Man City, it just, like, every time he got the ball, it kind of felt like he was going to lose it, and he was running into down alleyways and just nothing really good to report there. So
I'm being a bit nitpicky here as well, but where there was a chance, I don't know if it was 1-on-1, but he was definitely 1-on-1 with the keeper, and when he had any opportunity, and I think it just hit the keeper. Obviously, he didn't go in. But if he just give it just a little chip and lifted it over the keeper, that would have gone in. And I think if you were confident of trying to chip over the keeper, just a little dink, then it would have gone in. A confident Johnson, a confident person, would have gone for the chip and would have been wheeling away, celebrating a goal. So I think he knows it, and his confidence is lacking. So maybe... Maybe a kind of a break away from the first team where we get all our players back, give him a chance to kind of set himself again, might do him some good.
Yeah, indeed. Let's move on to the transfer window. Fair bit of news coming through, mostly about Antonio Nusa, who has chosen, according to Ali Gold, to join Brentford over Tottenham. Ali Gold says, I understand... Antonio Nuso chose Brentford because he was guaranteed regular starts there next season. Spurs held talks, but for a raw and talented teenager not starting regularly for Club Bruges yet, they couldn't offer such guarantees next season with their current squad. Frustrating, because I think all of us were quite excited. We saw the YouTube videos. We listened to other people who know a fair bit about football saying that he's talented. We did an episode on The Lab, actually, with Kish from Lely White Lab, and he was very excited about Noosa's potential. But the kid, to be fair to him, and I think it shows something about his character, has chosen to join Brentford because Brentford are saying, no, we're going to start you next season. I was quite impressed by that, because I thought he'd be, like, suggestible to the lure of Tottenham because of the club. But the fact that he turned down Chelsea because he didn't think it was right at the time, and he's actually going, I want to go Brentford because they're going to play, says something about the boy, I think. Mm-hmm. Were we right? I guess the question here, Rick, was we right to say, well, no, you're not guaranteed to start next season? if he asked the direct question.
I'm gonna say the opposite to you, because I think if you were to look at Papsar and Udogi, who were out on loan when we bought them and were carried on being on loan at their other clubs and then came back to Tottenham, and they're in the first team now. You know, we probably told them, you're young lads, you're raw, you need time to embed into your environment and to the first team. But they've taken their chances by the scruff of the neck, and now they're starting 11, and like we're really up in arms about Sarr being gone in the AFCON. Madden. And Udogi's been one of our standout players of the season.
Yeah.
Now you could say to the boy, you know, we can't guarantee you, we can't buy you and say we're definitely going to play you, but just look at these two lads here and look at Ange as well. Like he's got no fear of bringing young players in. Just take your chance when it comes and be ready for it.
And you say, look, Antonio, no one's guaranteed first team football here. And he goes, yeah. What about Son? Well, no, Son is, obviously. What about Madison? Well, yes, Madison is as well. All right, fair enough. You've got two. All right, well done, Antonio. Brilliant. What about
Vicario?
Well, Vicario's a goalkeeper, so, you know, everyone has a number one for a goalkeeper. What about Romero? Romero will start if he's fit. Yes, I get you. All right. But these are all...
He's won a World Cup. What do you want me to do? Yeah,
what do you want to sell him?
He's
no.
Won a World Cup. What have you got?
I'll tell you what, you cheeky little scamp. You can't just turn up and go, I want to play first team football. He's looked at it and gone, how the fuck am I getting in ahead of Son? Spurs might be looking at it going, we're going to buy number nine. I hope this is true, right? But we're going to buy a number nine. We have no plans to play Son through the middle consistently. We're going to get in, for the sake of argument, Tony. We're going to get in Tony. Or whatever it might be. He's going to be number nine. Son's going to be on the left. That is just the way things are going to be. As a kid, he's looking at it going, I can't see a way into that team. That may be what he's fearing. And then he's looking at it going, well, Brentford 100% going to play me. I'm going to get Premier League minutes unless they go down. That'd be funny. But yeah, it's you could argue it either way. What's your take, Mark?
I don't know. I think it's a bit silly from the players and his kind of entourage's side, if I'm totally honest with you, because I think there are Brentford's a fine, Brentford's a, you know, a Premier League club, whatever. They've got a great manager, obviously. Fantastic, outstanding, and some excellent Scandinavian talent. So maybe he's feeling a bit more like, you know, this feels a bit more home. He's 18.
Have they got a nucleus of the Danish? Is it Danish or just Scandinavian?
Danish. There's a Norwegian as well. But yeah, Nørgaard, Christian Nørgaard, a few others. So it's kind of...
comfortable there as well, yeah.
Yeah, maybe there's a little bit, but... you know, but he's still gonna have to push out Yohan Bissa, who's been a starter for them and plays usually on that sort of left hand side. Who else is there? Lewis Potter is there, but that won't be too much of a problem. So it's not like I don't think he's gonna be a guaranteed nailed on starter there either. And he's 18. Like if he was 23, I'd get it. You want guaranteed minutes, but I don't see why he's not going. And right, you're not gonna push out Son from the starting 11 to start from, but what an absolutely amazing player to come and learn from, because there's quite a few similarities there, and you see that the path is there for you to break in eventually, like you guys have already said. So I don't know, I mean, I thought it was a lack of ambition, and then Spooky in a senior moment thought I was talking about the club, but I sort of stand by that. I think I don't know, man, like I'm senior moment.
Yeah, yeah, when he says senior old moment, do you mean like an OAP? He's had an OAP moment. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, it's just very old.
I like that.
And he needs to be put out to pasture soon.
like candy stock. Yeah. Can put him out of his misery.
Yeah,
we dug him out last episode. This is unfair. And I called him that bloke, and he was like, "Is that how you think of me? Just that bloke." I've known him like 14 years. Yeah, sorry.
At least I called him out. So yeah, I don't know. I'm not like, but I think it's fine. Look, he's 18. Fuck it. We can go buy him for 50, 60 and 2 years off Brentford and have them fuming about that. I'll be okay with that as well. And then he can be a starter when Son, you know, maybe is getting towards the tail end of his career. It's fine.
So we move on from Antonio Nusa, a bit of a shame, but these things happen. It's difficult sometimes to please the player. Can't guarantee. It'll be worse if we said, yeah, we're all right, we'll play Son through the middle and you're going to be our left winger. And then you're like, oh shit, he's at least a year away, 2 years away. We've spent 30 million.
That's it. It's still a gamble. Like, he's not, like, he's not playing regularly for Bruges, and that's the fucking Jupiler League, which is awful. Yeah, he's done a good, you know, there's some good YouTube videos and all the neckbeards are raving about him, but he's not the Premier League. You know, Sandro said it in your pod with him. It's a step up. It's an unbelievable step up that most people don't realize. And not everyone does a Van de Ven and comes in and just starts and hits the ground running and is unbelievable from game one. It's much more the other side of it. Even within, I mean, we've just spoken about Brennan Johnson. You know, so I don't know. There's no guarantees in this game.
No, not at all. We've moved on then from Nusa to looking at Jacob Ramsey of Aston Villa, a player who clearly is more than capable of playing in the Premier League. I've been banging on about Jacob Ramsey since he broke through. Not to say that I know anything, but I was just, from the minute I saw him, I thought, this kid can fucking play. He's at class. I kind of saw him in, you know, the level of one day playing for City in Guardiola City. That's kind of the level I thought he'd be operating at eventually. But to get him out of Villa at such a young age would have been difficult. But now we find ourselves in a situation where us and Bayern Munich are among the sides that have made it clear that they have an admiration for, this is according to Ornstein, admiration for Aston Villa midfielder Jacob Ramsey. Say midfielder, he's a forward, really. What are you laughing at, Pete?
It's just such a funny thing that Tottenham and Bayern Munich have made their admiration known for it. It's like there's a survey going round to everyone, all the clubs. You admire him? No. Yeah. Oh, Bayern Munich? Yeah, you do. Right. Get everything going. Fucking so weird, isn't it?
I think, though, that there is, like, you can, by an admiration, it's probably paper talk for a club would make contact with Aston Villa and say, is there any chance or any room on this player? We admire him. But it's just a club going, if there is room to manoeuvre with Jacob Ramsey, or is it a non-starter? That, I guess that would be what it might be. But you'd think, with the amount of agents running around, it's more than a phone call going, look, is he up for leaving Villa? Can we get him in? That sounds a bit like, I don't know, maybe old school, but I don't know what the methods are. It'd be interesting to talk to someone who understands these things. Whatever it is, I would see, I mean, if you had a choice between Nusa and Jacob Ramsey now, for me, I would pick Ramsey all day. 50 million feels about right. Solves another, you know, another step to solving any homegrown issues. We know that he can do it. And apparently Villa will need to raise funds before the end of June to stay compliant with the profit and sustainability rules. So, fancy another toe-to-toe with Bayern Munich for Jacob Ramsey?
Trying to get Ramsey from Villa and Gallagher from Chelsea, with two teams that we are competing with, especially in the league positions anyway, and they're like kind of a young, homegrown, coming through their academies. It's going to be fucking a tall order to get them, and a tall order to do it in January too. Maybe we're putting the feelers out for the summer. I don't know, but I cannot see either of those deals happening in Jan. No chance.
Okay.
I agree with Vicky. I think they're both, they feel like summer deals, don't they? I mean, Ramsey hasn't played that much for Villa, but Gallagher's captain in the side and Poch loves him. So I don't think that's happening in January.
He's been in and out of injury this season, to be fair. So I don't know if that's good.
He's had two, isn't he?
Yeah, bringing in another another player who can't stay
injury fit. Injury prone youngster.
Yeah. What a slag. Florian Plettenberg says Leon are pushing for Højbjerg in the last few days, but he's rejected many clubs inquiring about him. Fucking what are you doing? Stop rejecting the clubs. Just fucking like go that. Do you know what? Like, I didn't think he was that bad against City. I thought he was all right. Like, I thought he was fine, and then he made that mistake that led to De Bruyne flashing it wide, and I was like, right, I'm done. I don't care what you. I'm done.
There was like two mistakes within like a minute, and the first one I was just like, I was so angry, but then I was just like, okay, it happens. Then it happened again, and I fucking nearly put my fist through the TV. So annoying. But apart from that, right, apart from that moment of madness, he was okay, you know.
Yeah, he was all right.
He's not one of those players where I'm looking back and like, fucking get out of my club or anything like that. But from memory of this season, I don't think Leon aren't the same Leon that we remember. I think they're pretty poop now. And I don't know where they're getting money from to get Højbjerg, but I can't see that deal happening either.
You still need 30 million euros, don't you, mate, to bring Højbjerg through. So, yeah, I don't know. It sounds like bollocks, doesn't it?
Yeah, Leon's lying, man.
They're second from bottom.
Are they?
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
But they've won three in the last five. And they're still second from bottom, so they would have been bottom before then.
Mm. Yeah, they had a terrible start to the season. Lyon's a shithole as well. Any of you ever been to Lyon?
Ricky has.
I did. I went to the Europa League.
What happened, Rick?
I got mega pissed. Mega pissed all day. And I was supposed to be
with
my dad and his mates on the upper tier. And for some reason, absolutely legless, I got through with my ticket, rushed through, and I opened my eyes and I was on the bottom tier with loads of other Tottenham fans. My dad's on the top tier. How the fuck that happens, I do not know. But yeah, it was quality anyway. Dembele, last minute.
Yeah. Your dad weren't happy with you, was he?
You got so hammered
so quickly. But that's what you got to do when you're away at with Spurs. But apparently I remember you telling me that they were furious with you because you was like hammered before 12 o'clock. So if like walking around or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sound about right?
Yeah.
You get the feeling your dad's like quite sensible, Rick. Is he quite like a sensible one? Like, does he have like the maps printed out and like boarding passes and that?
Oh, no, fuck no. None of that stuff. He doesn't drink. So I do the drinking for both of us, and then he hates me for it.
you can be a terrible,
that's a good man.
But you can be a terrible drunk, Rick.
The thing is as well, I don't do like a happy-go-lucky, tipsy, a couple of chants and all that. Like, I just like go 3 a.m. egg nightclub, fucking can't remember what's going on.
You do.
Dribbling. Can't stay on my feet. Fucking hell. And this is at a football match at like 3 o'clock. I get caught up in the phone.
I know Ricky's face because it'll get to a point where he's fine and then I'll turn around, I'll take a sip of my beer and what will feel like a minute's passed and I'll turn around and Ricky's face is gone. Like, he's gone from being okay to mega pissed in the same space of about 2 minutes. And I was like, it's happened again, Rick. And you'll be staring at me and just like, this little grin on your face and one of your eyelids is half shut.
Yeah, I was going to say that. It's like, oh, here comes stroke face, Ricky. Good. I know what's coming now.
Oh,
I'm going to have to take you home. I've got to sober up. ruining my day.
The thing when we'd go abroad though, Ricky, we'd go abroad, and I was like, do you remember we went to Anderlecht way back in the day, and you was hammered, but it was only like R5 in the afternoon, and we was on the first night, so we just had plans to just go out and get smashed, and I'm looking at you, and I'm like, there's no way he's gonna make it. And then after, yeah. but you were sitting on the bench in that pub that we were plotted up in. And then after a while, there's a picture of me and you actually. And we were in Anderlecht pub, we're a pub in Anderlecht. And we were posing, like, I think Charlie Marks took the picture. And you know the one I'm talking about. You were about an hour later after that picture was taken, you was like, Flav, can you take me home? To take you home and put you into bed. It was 6:30 in the afternoon.
It was half six in the afternoon. And I remember you putting me to bed to sleep it off. And then I woke up at like 9:00. And bearing in mind, the last like memories, I was on a plane going to Belgium. And then the next minute, I've woken up in a room with like loads of old decor. Yeah. The curtains are shut in a bed I don't know where. I was like, what the fuck has just happened, man? Yeah, Where am I?
It was a mess. This is actually a good segue to tell you that we've got a new podcast out, Ricky, and more stories like that on this podcast called Lads Anonymous, Rick.
That's right, yes. So Flav and I have a podcast called Lads Anonymous. The second episode dropped today, and honestly, it is one of the, if I don't mind saying so myself, one of the funniest pods I've done in a while. It is terrific. Basically, we have a main theme that we talk about that is submitted by you, and then the lads listening to the pod submit their dilemmas, any need for advice or anything like that, and it's pretty much what we've just talked about. So go and download it, please.
And you'll find out how much I've spent on poached eggs in the last 4 weeks. It's insane. It's insane. It's absolutely insane. And it's not a lie either. You won't be able to guess. Like in your head, you've got, oh, what, how much must he have spent on poached eggs? How much can a man spend on poached eggs in one, you know, in a 4 week period? Whatever you're thinking is more. final question, a couple of questions here. Wok88, it's not a question actually, I nicked this off Reddit. It was about Jack Clark and him going to Lazio. They've initiated contact to sign Jack Clark from Sunderland this month in a deal that can be worth between 10 million and 15 million. But Spurs have got a 25% sell-on clause. So
25?
Yeah. So if he goes...
Oh, fucking hell.
If he goes for 10 million, that's a cool 2.5 million in our back pockets.
Nice, yeah.
And then maybe we'll never think about Jack Clark ever again. Final question, youth industry design. He says, when Everton get relegated, should we look at bringing Dele as Madison's backup? As what? Backup to do what? I mean, I know he's had his struggles and whatnot, but not as a player that's going to play in the Premier League for us. Like, it would be... Is the idea, do you think, Mark, that is the idea that we'd be able to bring him back to what he formerly was? Is that rose-tinted in the most extreme? Or should we actually be a bit more sensible and actually buying a number 10 or a backup to Madison that's actually capable of of doing what we need of him?
Yeah, the latter, not the former, for sure. I mean, Dele's kind of gone through a few cycles since he was with us in terms of what sort of player he is. So that ship's long sailed. That's right, that analogy, isn't it? Yeah, I think so.
No, he's paranoid. That ship has long since sailed. Yeah, I think that's fine.
I need to stop doing it. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. That's past. He's not a 10 in the set. He's not a chance creator. You know, when he was at his best for us, he was, you know, in the pockets, finding space, get, you know, one, two touches and then scoring outrageous goals. And he's just not that kind of player anymore. Ramsey actually, I think could be a better backup to Madison than someone a profile like Dele for sure. But I love Dele so much. You know when the club or like various people on Twitter post up Dele compilations and stuff. My God, what a player! What an absolute insane player we had on our hands there.
Yeah, so, yeah. A lot going for you in order to be successful at any level, don't you really? He's still under contract at Everton. He's going to be up at the end of the season. It doesn't look like he's anywhere near. Is he anywhere near?
They love him up here for some reason. I don't know why. He's barely played for them. I don't think he gives a shit about them. Although he's, you know, but they fucking love him. So, yeah, it's all good.
Oh. Rick, anything to add there?
Well, if we're looking back to... play on the vibe stuff and we don't really want to win anything, just play for vibes and fun, get him back. He's a Milton Keynes lad. We had fun together, we did, all of us. Get Harry back as well, get him back, Ericsson back, we'll get them all back, get the band back together.
Yeah, Harry, come all back, you vibes. Fucking dickhead. Just come back, you fucking dickhead. Why did you go?
You proved your point. Yeah. You proved your point, all right?
Well, so what? You scored 23 goals in a shit league. Brilliant. We all knew you was good. You proved that before. Why did you go? Knob. Zeus, he said, Tottenham win every game for the rest of the season, but you explosively shit yourself and cry every time you blow your beans. Do you accept the offer? Just for this season. Just for this season, is it? So... You shit yourself and cry every time you blow your beans. Look, oh, if you think God. About it for this season, I'm just not going to have sex, right? I'm not going to have sex, and I'm not going to masturbate. And if I do masturbate, I'll just do it in the confines of my room so that no one sees it, and I'll just deal with the cleanup. But I reckon if I could go, I reckon I could go from now to May without knocking one out or having sex, if it meant Spurs win every game.
Yeah, I think that's the easiest challenge anyone's ever set. Just have a wank in the toilet. You're already on the toilet.
On the
have
toilet.
A wank, do yeah. your business, and then you just shit right after. I think it sounds like a win-win.
Yeah, so you're on the toilet, you're shit, you're having a shit,
if I could just automatically empty
same.
My guts
yeah.
every time I wank in the toilet, it's kind of, it means I don't have to go back and you save a trip.
You're basically doing three things all at once. You're
having a little cry, your emotions out, it's very good.
You're getting rid of you're emptying your bowels. You're getting the poison out by having a knocking one out, and also you're having an emotional release. I don't think there's a lose here.
Yeah, a good old purge.
Yes,
good old get everything out, all of it out.
You're getting everything out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure you piss yourself as well. So piss, poo, tears, and jizz in one action. And Spurs win every game. Zeus, this is supposed to be a conundrum, mate.
Do you need me for the next 10 minutes, babe? I'm just going to go have a purge. And, she'll hit. 3 minutes in, she hears a boom.
Okay, this has been the Fighting God podcast. We will be back. Me and Mark are doing a preview for the Brentford game. Mark and I, Robert. And we're back after the... Well, we're back on Thursday, post-Brentford. And there's lots of other stuff going on behind Patreons. Remember, mostly important, is if you can find the time to have a great night with us and Sandro at the pub, the Bellevue pub in Clapham, then get your tickets now, because it's running out of time. This is happening very soon. Cheers, boys.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Network.